The wait is over for thousands of students in Northern Ireland as they find out their A-level results. For some, there will be relief as they get the grades they wanted. For others, there will be disappointment. Around 13,000 pupils got the results this morning. It's expected three quarters of these people will go to university, a much higher proportion than in England and Wales. Let's head up, first of all, to St Mary's Grammar in West Belfast. Lisa's there. Morning, Lisa.
Morning, Stephen. Yes, there's been a steady stream of boys coming here all morning to get their results. And what we're going to have to do first is talk to Cathy Moore, who's the careers advisor, because she's got a rugby scrum of people outside her office waiting to talk to her. We will hear from some pupils in a moment. But Cathy, what advice are you offering to the boys today who didn't perhaps get what they needed?
What I'm saying is there's very little availability in clearing, but it's still worth checking, first of all, and then taking a bit of time to reflect, because when people get results, when they get a shock, they tend to react quite violently, sometimes in the way that they choose something and it can turn out to be the wrong choice. So I'm telling them to go away. I'm giving them a lot of the different options that they do have and talk about it at home, and then come back and speak to me in more depth about it, because you shouldn't make a decision if you're feeling emotional or upset.
When you were dealing with your pupils throughout the year, was there a sense maybe this year, different to previous years, where the cost of university was maybe putting some of them off?
Yes, I did notice a bit of a change, obviously, with the fee increase in England and Wales. There are more people wanting to stay at home. We've also noticed a bit of an increase in people choosing to go down south this year, which has been interesting, because those registration fees were previously covered by our government. However, I think things could change again for next year.
In what way?
Well, I don't think that the registration fee is necessarily going to be covered in the south of Ireland, so it may not be as attractive. And then there's this whole fee debacle over in Scotland. Will or will you not be treated as an EU student? And, you know, the outcome of that will affect a lot of people's decisions too. But certainly finance is a big problem for a lot of young people when they're considering their options now.
Okay, Cathy, I'll let you get back to everybody over there outside your office. Much more important than me this morning.
Okay. We'll come back to you in just a second with some... I know you've got some students around you there, so we'll come back to you in just a second. We want to head to the University Admissions Headquarters in Cheltenham. The BBC UK Care Affairs Correspondent, Chris Buckler, is there for us. What's happening there, Chris?
Yeah, morning, Stephen. Lots of phone lines, very busy here. Lots of people on the Twitter, lots of people on Facebook, just trying to get information about clearing. I have got some figures for you for Northern Ireland at this stage. Just taking a look at this. These are the figures as of midnight last night. At that stage, they had 6,878 people from Northern Ireland. Those are the institutions there who had accepted applicants. So 6,878 accepted applicants. What's interesting, though, is that that is down from last year. And actually, the number of applicants from Northern Ireland was up from last year. With me is Andrea Robertson, who's the Director of Customer Operations here at UCAS. You're busy trying to fit people into various different universities for those who didn't quite get the grades, or actually those who got better than expected grades as well. But in Northern Ireland, there is going to be a bit of a squeeze this year, isn't there? Because previously, everybody paid about the same across the UK. It was £3,500, with the exception of Scotland. Suddenly, if you study in Northern Ireland, it's £3,500. Go to England, Wales or Scotland, you're paying up to £9,000. So that's going to be a squeeze for Northern Ireland universities, isn't it?
It certainly has made a difference this year. We've seen students obviously choosing universities or college places over the years based on a variety of factors, and finance is a big factor, and we do recognise that. We have carried out some research in July which showed that finance across the board, the introduction of the differential fees, hasn't made a substantial difference to the choices that students are making. But obviously for the institutions, they need to look very carefully at the students they're accepting on the basis, in some cases, of the fee level that they're paying.
We know that there's about 25,000 courses across the UK at the moment that do have vacancies of some sort. What about Northern Ireland, though? Because if there is a squeeze, it's going to show there in terms of courses filling up very quickly.
It may well do, and every year the vacancies in clearing are highlighted by institutions, and we have those on the UCAS website. Having just had a look, there are vacancies at the moment, certainly at Ulster and at Queen's University and at most of the other institutions in Northern Ireland. So there certainly are vacancies available. It's very much a case of students who are hoping to go into clearing contacting those universities today and finding out what's needed.
I'll just quickly say, Stephen, here, we have had a look. Queen's University currently has about 31 courses, so there's a limit to what you can actually study, and in terms of the University of Ulster, about 23 courses currently available.
Chris, thank you very much indeed. That's Chris Buckler live at the University Admissions Headquarters in Cheltenham. We're going to head back to our reporter Lisa McAllister in just a second. She's got some students around her in St Mary's Grammar in West Belfast. Just before we do that, let's speak to the Employment and Learning Minister, Stephen Farry, this morning. What do you make of these results, Minister?
Well, I think, it's, first of all, Stephen, I think we have to congratulate everybody in terms of their achievements in their A-levels today. Every individual in this society has their own particular talents. And what we have to do is to put in place the courses and the programmes to unlock everyone's potential. And we will be seeing considerable numbers of people going into higher education, and that's brilliant. There's also other choices for people in terms of going into further education, where you can also do a degree, and often those foundation degrees are very much tailored to the needs of employers. People can also consider an apprenticeship, and also a lot of employers are now talking about taking people straight at A-levels and training them in-house, which is also a valuable route. So there's a whole range of choices out there for young people today.
And yet the proportion of Northern Ireland pupils earning top grades has fallen for 2 years in a row now.
Well, first of all, Stephen, you will see some fluctuations in grades between different years. But also, I think we have to recognise that more and more people are now doing A-levels. So we're talking about a bigger pool of people. So as we expand the number of people that are coming into A-levels, you would expect the numbers getting the top grades, the overall proportion, to drop slightly. So I don't think it's any cause for alarm in terms of those figures. I think it's a very, very solid, rational explanation as to why it's happening.
What about those people who suggest, Minister, that some of these exams, and look, this is going to do the head in of anybody today that's been working really hard for these, but there are people who suggest that these exams are getting too easy.
Well, that's often said, but I think if you speak to the young people, I mean, I'm up at Lagan College here today talking to the students, and it's very clear that a lot of work has gone in to the A-levels by the students. They certainly regard them as being a challenge. The universities, the colleges, employers all regard the A-level as being the currency as to how we measure attainment from young people. You know, so they are regarded as being of significant worth. And we will have an ongoing debate as to how we tweak the A-level over coming years.
Do you think they need tweaked?
There's a debate happening
across the UK. You're the minister. You're the minister in Northern Ireland. Do you think they need tweaked? Do you think they're fine as they are?
Well, A-levels are responsibility of my colleague, the Education Minister, but there is a debate happening across the UK.
And where do you stand in that debate?
Well, I think we always have to look at the nature of our qualifications to make sure that they are relevant to the needs of the colleges, universities and employers.
You should get an A star this morning in ducking my question.
Do you think the
A-levels should be harder? Do you think they're the right standard as they are? When this debate is happening, what will you be saying?
The A-level, Stephen, are of sufficient standard. They are a very strong, robust qualification. There is no question in my mind that they are not providing the proper, strong evidence base of qualifications. Yeah. What we're talking about here is minor changes in A-levels as we reflect the evolution in terms of the world of work and the world of education.
Stephen, I feel bad even saying this on a day like today because I am aware that lots of kids will have worked incredibly hard for these. But given the economic times we're in, there could be people here about to go into university, and no matter how hard they work, they're not going to have the same chance that you had, that I had, because the jobs aren't there for them.
Yeah, and that is
that's
very
depressing.
Sobering. That is a very sobering reality, Stephen, and you will appreciate that youth unemployment is an issue right across Europe, and it's certainly an issue within Northern Ireland. I think the strongest message I can say is that all the evidence shows that if people invest in their education, invest in training, their prospects of a job increase significantly. So if we talk about 20% unemployment amongst young people, amongst those people who have invested in education, that rate is significantly lower. And for those who maybe haven't had the same opportunities, the rate is even higher.
But are the graduate jobs going to be there?
Well, the graduate jobs are going to be there, and we have evidence, Stephen, that as we look to the future needs of the Northern Ireland economy, we know where the sectors are, where the jobs are going to be created. And that's in areas such as ICT, it's in terms of advanced engineering, it's things like food and drink manufacturing, it's in terms of hospitality and tourism, life sciences. So we know the areas, we're doing the planning, and we're trying to advise students of where the likely jobs are going to be.
And Minister, final question. We can see that the amount of people wanting to go to university here, and I'm sure one of the factors playing into that, the fees here, £3,500, across the water, £9,000. That's a huge factor. Are you confident that as we progress next year, year after that, that we will hold it at £3,500 and resist the similar fees to across the water?
Well, I think the freezing of the tuition fees has been one of the major achievements of the Executive Assembly over the past year. There's a lot of investment going into maintaining this policy. There's a commitment that we will have the fees frozen for the rest of this current budget period. And I would certainly be very optimistic that we will continue this policy for the foreseeable future. It really is paying dividends, and we are seeing the effect of the higher fees in Great Britain in terms of deterring people from higher education. We want to encourage our people to go into higher education because we do see that producing better opportunities in terms of employment and also the future needs of our own economy.
Thanks for coming on this morning, Minister. That's Minister Stephen Fry. Let's head back to Lisa McAllister, who's at St Mary's Grammar in West Belfast with some students with her.
Yes, Stephen. Well, Cathy's gone off to help those who didn't get the results that they wanted. But I'm joined now by some who did get exactly what they wanted. And James Gaskins with me. You are going to university, but you did a slightly different A-level to everybody else. Tell me about that.
I did a national diploma in sport. It's a applied subject. I got 3 distinctions from the university in Jordanstown. Can't wait.
So that's a more vocational-based type A level rather than sitting in the classroom studying. It's a bit more vocational.
Yeah, it's all coursework-based. There isn't any actually tests. So I find it easier than sitting down doing tests in the year.
And the same result, you're off to Jordanstown. What are you going to study?
I'm going to study sports studies in Jordanstown.
And what do you hope to do with that?
Hopefully, at the end of it, go on to do a PGCE and do PE teaching.
That's fantastic, and also one of those things, it's a brave thing to do at 16 as well, to say that maybe the more academic A level doesn't suit you, that you're better off on a more vocational based one.
Yeah.
James is very pleased, and we should say that James's mummy doesn't even know what he's got yet, so if she's listening this morning, it's been revealed first on the Nolan show.
As it should be.
So with also with me is Conor Rainey, and you've gone the more traditional route, and big congratulations to you today. What did you get?
I got 4 A's, so I did.
And what are you going to do with those?
I'm going to do medicine over at Hull York Medical School in England, so can't wait.
Why is he going to England and not staying here?
Well, if you'd give me a chance, Stephen, that's my next question. Why are you going away, Conor, instead of staying here?
I have relatives over there, so it was just a natural choice to look over there, so it was. And then I seen the medical school, liked it, and sort of picked that.
Did the cost of going away slightly put you off?
It did at the start. I mean, it's cheaper to go to the likes of Queen's or Jordanstown over here, but I had it explained to me by the careers teachers about the whole student loan idea, and it didn't really put me off after that. It's what I want to do, so.
Are you concerned about the debt that you might graduate with?
Yeah, but hopefully we'll be able to pay it back, so.
That's because you'll be a big, rich, well-paid doctor, won't you?
Hopefully.
Massive amount of debt. £9,000 a year fees compared to £3,000 here. He's going to be walking out of university. £27,000 in debt.
Yes, and as Conor explained, he did discuss that with the careers teacher. But you're happy enough then that you will earn enough to pay it back?
Yeah, definitely.
So I've got two very happy, James and Conor, both with me, and two, as I say, two very different routes into university. James taking the more vocational-based A-level, and Conor going for the medicine.
Good stuff, Lisa. Thank you very much indeed. 0845 955 678. Gerald's in Port of Down. Morning, Gerald.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, morning, morning. What about your granddaughter?
Oh, unbelievable. VA stars.
What?
VA stars.
She's a smart cookie.
She's not bad. She's not bad.
She must be ecstatic.
Yep. She's from Friends in Lisburn. And she plays a very, very high standard of badminton. She's represented Ireland in the Commonwealth Games.
Wow. What does she want to do?
Oh, I don't know. What would you like to do?
Where's she going to go?
She's going to go to Queens.
Ah. She's going to stay at home.
Oh, yes. Well, she's not that far away from it. She lives in Lisburn.
You must be a very proud grandfather this morning.
Why not?
Absolutely. Thanks for calling us this morning, Gerald. Michelle Markham, former principal, school principal. Morning to you, Michelle.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. I'm just all too aware, Michelle, that the world has changed over the last couple of years. And all of these people going to university, are they going to get a fair crack of the whip when they come back out again?
Oh, that's a very good question, Stephen. And I've listened carefully to all the different opinions and, you know, almost contradicting some of them. The ones which say, you know, the minister saying, if you go to university, you'll get a better return for it. And then I'm thinking that's only if you have a job.
Yeah,
engineering
exactly.
At the moment is in a slump. And yet engineering is one of the STEM courses that government is trying to push, obviously, because that's where they see the skills base shortage.
So what about those people, Michelle, who would be thinking to themselves this morning, even if I've got good A-levels, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to go to university. I'm going to get myself into a workforce. I'm going to get myself into a company, start at the very bottom, and 3 years later, rather than have been in university, they're going to have worked themselves up that ladder. They're going to have created relationships, and they're going to maybe be a step ahead.
Well, actually, Stephen, I have to say that I think A-levels, first of all, are of a very high quality. They're generally well taught and they cover a broad spectrum. And therefore, I consider that a young person at 18 is actually very well educated to that point.
So do they need a degree?
Well, there are obviously, first of all, there's a young person's right to the aspiration to go to university. And that should be never negated. If a young person has a desire to go to university, they have a right to continue their learning in that way. They may, though, continue it in a part-time capacity with an organisation like the Open University. And I know that more and more younger students are doing that. The profile of the Open University, for example, has changed dramatically over the last lot of years because younger people are seeing that as an option to work and study at the same time. Now, you know, but your premise about going and getting a job is actually a very positive one. There are many ways in which you will learn life skills doing that. And if after 3 years of work, you decide that you want to consolidate that by going to university, you've probably got a better basis for doing so. You've maybe saved a bit of money. You're mature, you know, more mature, and you can make good choices.
Because there will be lots of kids this morning, Michelle, and we're talking about a lot of the winners today. You know, we've just heard from a very proud grandfather, and rightly so, that he called us. His granddaughter's got three A stars. But there will be lots of kids today who will be feeling like a failure because they haven't got good grades. And what I would say to them, right, just from my experience, is that you see a few years later when you get on in life, sure, if you want to be a doctor or if you want to be an astronaut or something, you need specific grades. But there are quite a few of us that are doing all right. And, you know, you can move on from bad grades. You can achieve, you can be a huge success in the future.
I think the key to that, Stephen, is that in their last years at school, if young people have been helped to understand their strengths, their life skills, their soft skills, their ability to be a good communicator, their ability to be a completer, to get the job done, to be responsible and reliable. And if those skills are valued by the people in their school, then those young people will be able to balance perhaps their disappointment at not getting into a university with the realisation that they actually have some very strong skills that are really worthwhile in the workplace.
So do you concede that it's not a no-brainer anymore in terms of if you get good grades, you should definitely go to university? Do you concede that the world has changed and maybe even if you do get good grades, you should get yourself into a company and build up contacts, build up relationships rather than going to university?
Well, first of all, Stephen, the first part of that is whether or not university is the only route to higher education. There are many apprenticeships. For example, Bombardier Shorts, if you go in there as an apprentice, you will be offered the opportunity to go on and complete a higher education degree, if you wish. It's not so much about me conceding, but you say the other part of it is you say the world has changed, and that is absolutely true.
Michelle,
believe it or not, in 89, they wanted 80% of young people to go to university. Think about that. Now it's around 46%.
Michelle, thank you very much indeed. Here's Dennis in the Northwest. Morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Stephen, and thanks for taking the call.
I can give you 1 minute before the news.
Right. Well, very briefly, I think that the banks made an awful mess of the finances, and the government found billions of pounds to bail them out. I don't think that universities nowadays should have this nonsense of fees and charges. I do not agree with it at all.
Like that kid that we heard earlier on, he's going across the water. Yes. He says he's spoken to his careers advisor, and you know he's not worried about the debt. Yeah. Walking out of university with 27 grand of debt.
Well, your key word there was kid. He isn't in the real world yet. Now, the thing is that all people who have the ability to go through the education system should be funded to their maximum potential.
Dennis, thank you very much.